Amazing body of believers here, Lord, and just these amazing people, Father, that have been here for so many years, Father, and that you have, because of your grace, because of your mercy, your provision to keep each one. We just thank you so much. Thank you so much for this. And heaven only knows, you only know, God, what the eternal value of what has been done here in Stockholm through the years, Lord Jesus, but I have a feeling it's much greater than we can even imagine. And thank you so much, Lord, just for being a part of that, allowing me to be a part of that. And just pray you'll bless our fellowship tonight and be rich around your word. And you would speak to us very personally, very intimately, very individually. We thank you for that and ask you to bless us now with your word. Amen.
Amen.
Just greetings from my Kirstie. I remember you mentioned that your Kirstie was sending greetings. Of course, my Kirstie sends greetings too. And she would love to be here. And she was like almost in tears as she was telling me as I was leaving that please tell them how much I love them and how much I wish I could be there. Almost brings me to tears talking about it. But really, she really did say that and meant it, you know, very wholeheartedly. And she just feels like, you know, she even though it's a short time for her to be here, I guess, but she still feels like she's so much a part of this body, you know. And so greetings from her. And I'm going to try to be brief because I have this back issue going on. And I'm going to take, there's this pain pill that does it really well, but probably if I take it now, I'll be like drooling. And I'll be like, my eyes will roll back in my head. And I won't make a lot of sense. But you're probably thinking, well, what's the difference? You know? But with God's help, I will make it through this and take a pill afterwards. But you know, I can maybe tell afterwards I've kind of shared a little bit what we're doing in Nicaragua. Maybe I can share a little bit more appropriately after, maybe, or
just either one. I mean, you can do a formal part and then an informal part, or you know.
But yeah, maybe mention a little bit after.
Drug free and then get the drugs
after. See which one compared.
We carry you out.
See which one's better.
It's really bad.
So, but I was thinking about a verse here, Romans 16, in verse 19. I can read it for you here, but. Says, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And thinking about this verse here, obviously when we're thinking about the church in Rome, this was like the place to be. If for anybody that is like has a political motivations or they have all the culturally, it was called the, I heard someone say that it was like the, it's like the PowerPoint politically and the hotspot culturally. This was the place to be, was Rome. And so you can imagine just the stuff that they were seeing in Rome at the time that this writing was taking place. And you know, like any big city, you know, temptations, you know, there were things that people were being drawn into, and there was this worldly spirit that was taking place there. Of course, they were being commended here, which is amazing. You know, they were faithful, they were obedient, and he says that your obedience has come abroad unto all men. And I am glad on your behalf, but I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And so just to think about that today, I think we're living in a time period where if you're thinking about Europe, thinking about the United States, a lot of the trends are set in these places, you know, and it's there's like the spirit in the world that says that we need to stay abreast of everything that's happening. You know, we need to stay on top of culture. We need to stay on top of all that's happening politically. We're talking about that today with Pastor Michael, just about all the political things, the television, the things that you see, the things that we take into our minds. And the devil wants us to take in everything because he wants us to be just the opposite of what's being said here is what the devil wants for our lives, obviously, right? He wants us to be wise concerning evil and simple concerning good. And you know, it's like this, as we know, the Word of God is what it is. It's like it has an incredible penetrating effect in our lives. It's like the washing of the Word of God. We come and we hear the Word of God and we need to be washed in it all the time. We need to, because we're receiving so many impulses, vibrations, images, these kinds of things all the time. And when we can easily be, at the end of the day, we can say, well, geez, I feel like jumping out the window, you know. I'm just, depression, you know, can overtake us because, and then we say, well, what have I been receiving, you know, throughout the day? And so, His thoughts were to the church in Rome is, I want you to be simple. I want you to be simple concerning evil and simple concerning all these things that you feel like you have to be up to date on, you know. And so, I mean, who says that we have to stay culturally knowledgeable? It's better that we... And we know this. We know this, right? It's like we don't. It's better that we people look at us and say, "Well, you're kind of like you didn't know this was happening. You didn't know this. Mm-hmm. You didn't know about this group. You didn't know about Star Wars. You didn't know about this. Just came. You know, it's like you didn't know about all this stuff." And we said, "No, you know, really, really don't. Said, well, you're dumb." I mean, you know, people are going to think that anyway, right? They're going to think that we have our head buried in the sand. We're like an ostrich with our head in the sand. But, you know, it's better to be that way, isn't it? It's better to be ignorant of these things, but we're knowledgeable about the things of God. And, it helps to keep our heart pure and helps to keep our hearts thinking and meditating upon these pure thoughts that come from the Word of God, you know? So it's dangerous. You say, well, everything that's out there, it's like there's so many dangers that can easily trip us up and easily, you know, grab a hold of our mind and take us for a ride, a journey. And I was just thinking recently, there's so many people just in the last few years that I know, and maybe you have the same experience, you do say, well, this could never happen to this person. They could never, you know, they've been in the Word, they've been in the church for so many years, and then all of a sudden, one day, you're thinking, no, not that person. And you hear about that through the body or whatever. You hear somebody is no longer around for whatever reason and stopped going to church, and you think that, well, that could never happen. It's impossible. It could happen to anybody, you know, and we think that there's no way it can happen to us, but it could, you know, and that's the warning that the same thing that Paul is saying here to the church in Rome is the same warning that we need to give to ourselves all the time, right? To stay, it's okay to be simple concerning all the evil that's taking place in the world. It's really okay, right? And I'd rather be like a nerd or somebody to think that I'm very nerdy or whatever, you know, or very unaware and dumb, you know. And it's better to be that way, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And so, and just to read another verse from Deuteronomy in chapter 12, and I think this is kind of really goes along hand in hand, I think, with this. Chapter 12, verse. Is that the verse? 12:29. Oh, there we go. So it's 29, 30, and 31. So when the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Now, I was thinking about that. First comes the victory. When the Lord takes care of our enemies, or when he did with Israel here, he says, be careful, take heed to thyself. You know, it's God is the one bringing the victory. You didn't bring it. God's bringing it. We have the victory. We have the victory in Christ. We stand in the victory in Christ today. Take heed to thyself that thou be not ensnared by following them, and then seeking after their, inquiring after their gods, and saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. And I think this is like a spirit of curiosity. You know, we start delving into things. You say, well, what's happening here? There's so much happening on the internet that we can easily click on in a second. I'm just kind of curious about this, you know. And we can be ensnared by it, you know. And it's the same thing that's happening here. The people, after they were delivered, they were in the land that was formerly possessed by the enemy. They're in the land. And now they start saying, well, I wonder how they were living. I wonder what kind of gods they were serving. You know, it's just like sort of like a simple thing that led to their downfall, you know. So now they're opening themselves up. Instead of staying and remaining ignorant to those things, they say, no, I want to have knowledge about these things. So as they start delving into that, right? And then pretty soon it's like, what happens next? And then it's verse 31 here. It says, thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. And if you're thinking about this, okay, well, you know, maybe this part doesn't really apply to our lives, but it can so easily affect our lives to a sense that we, you know, I offer our children, you know, burn them, you know, as a sacrifice that they did here. But in a sense, we can offer our children, parents can offer their children by simply delving into these other things, and then their children are following them into this. So in a sense, there is a sacrifice that can be made, and it can fall out upon the children. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we can everything that we do as Christians anyway, we think that there's not much effect to it. We think, well, you know, I have my little sphere of influence, and I'm thinking that within this, I feel pretty comfortable. I'm thinking that, you know, these people see my life, they know what's going on. But I don't understand that there's probably even a much far reach to my ministry than I can even imagine or know. Where people looking at my life, seeing me, relatives, I mean, just thinking about relatives alone, a lot of people have relatives, right? Many relatives, right? And then they're looking at your lives and you're thinking year after year after year. And then when I look here at Stockholm, this church, seeing you guys year after year after year, it's like amazing. I mean, it's an incredible testimony. You know, it's almost like, you know, really it touches my heart, really, to see this, you know, see you guys. Sorry, I'm getting emotional here. try to hold it back a little bit. But I see this, and, you know, and the world sees it. The world sees what we're doing, and the world is affected by it, and our relatives are affected by it, and we just don't understand what kind of reach we have into our family. I have family members, and I'm sure you do too. Some of them are safe, some of them are not. Some of them have kind of fallen away, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, look how far they are. Look how far away they are, you know, and we're thinking that, what are the chances of them coming back, you know? But it's not something in one sense that we need to concern ourselves with. We need to just, you know, we look forward unto Christ all the time. We keep going forward, forward, forward all the time. What I need to concern myself with is not being ensnared by the enemy, but I need to concern myself with going forward with Christ. And when I do that, these things, God will do this. My testimony is strong, and God will bring about the fruit that's going on around our lives by people that are looking into our lives. And so that's really comforting, you know, that God will take care of the bigger issues, and I don't need to concern myself with those things too much. You know, I do in one sense because we have people that we're praying for. I'm thinking about my niece. I'm just thinking about her life earlier today and thinking how far she is. But just knowing that God is touching her life anyway through circumstances. And just like we were once there. You know, we were once there. God was faithful to bring us to the end of ourselves. And He'll be faithful to bring them to the end of themselves. And so that's just really comforting, you know. And then, let's see. I was just thinking about this because there was a testimony of a man that I heard recently that had really gone, he wasn't a Christian, but he had gone so far in his life that he ended up getting a sex change. I mean, this guy went through the entire sex change, as far as I could tell, as far as, you know, all the stuff that you could do surgically, you know, and obviously with hormones and the whole thing, he went through that. But today, his testimony, you know, if you're looking at the guy, you're thinking, oh, you know, you get this, you know, because, I mean, the guy is really pretty messed up, you could say, right? I mean, if you've gone through, but you know what? Today, he said that he is more liberated and more free in Christ than he's ever been in his whole life. He can't reverse the effects of the surgery that he had done on him, but he is so free. He's so free to live his life now, and you know, and that's the bottom line anyway, isn't it? I mean, yeah, we can make mistakes, but there's nothing that we can't go so far, really, unless we lose our mind. You know, I mean, we can't go so far unless we. But you know, we have our mind. We can say God. We can turn to Him in a moment, and He can restore everything and give us this incredible. This guy is just bubbling with joy. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to see what a testimony this guy is, mm-hmm. and what a testimony he is for all the other people out there in the world that think that there's no hope for them, that they've gone too far. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But this guy was set free, really set free. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's the same thing that we, in our lives, as we're going forward in Christ, people are looking at our lives and they're thinking, I want that liberty, I want that freedom, I want that love, I want that joy, I want that body life, you know. You know, I mean, in the natural eye, we look at all of us. I mean, we're like, okay, what is this group of Umdomer, you know, that are here in this building, right? And you think, well, what is this? But once you step inside it and you feel the love of Christ in every member in the body, it's like there's something supernatural. It's something you can't explain. The natural man can look at it all day long and not figure it out. But you and I know it because we've tasted of that. We see it. We feel it. You know, there's great love here. There's the presence of God. And in this body life, it's like we should never minimize this in any way. I know you guys don't do that. And that's the whole point, is to get people in here and get them to see this and experience this body life that we have, you know, wherever we're at. But this is an incredible manifestation of that. And I was just thinking of one, just another verse here, Psalm 135. This is kind of along the same lines here. It's the idols of nations. In Psalm 135, and then verse 15. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, and the works of men's hands. So, you know, the world today, of course, they'll do anything to sell. They'll sell their books, their movies, their magazines, you know, and sex sells, you know. And it's not uncommon to, you know, we think about a lot of commercials, a motorcycle, and there's a woman standing next to the motorcycle, and she's not wearing much, you know, as far as clothing. You're thinking, what are they selling here? Are they selling the motorcycle? Are they selling the girl, you know? And you're thinking, well,
maybe you get the motorcycle and the girl. I mean, of course, that's the whole thing, right? I mean, they think if you buy the motorcycle, then of course the girl's going to be, she's going to come along too, you know, just kind of. But it's like, it's all for the purpose of, it's just like idol worship. This is what, really what it is. It's like, these are the things that ultimately the bottom line is gold and silver and the works of men's hands is what it says in these verses here. And then in verse 18 here, it says, they that make them are like unto them. Mm-hmm. So what we fix our eyes upon is what we become, you know. You think, well, but I have to check it out. I have to find out what's hot and what's not, you know. And, you know, we don't have to check out what's hot and what's not. We just need to focus on this word, and our eyes need to be focused on, as it says in Colossians 3:2, where we are positioned, where we are placed, in the heavenly places is where we need to have our affections placed, right? And if we don't do this, and we start looking at the culture, and we start looking at other things around us in this polluted world that we live in, then we erode our souls, we sap our spiritual energy, we diminish our hunger for the things of God, right? But when we set our affections on things above, that's what we need to do. We become like what we are beholding. We set our affections on things above. We set our affections on the Word, on prayer, on meeting together with the body of Christ, and we become more like Christ. We're more formed into His image. We're much more like Him every day. And in this world, as we all know, this world needs to see Christ. Needs to see Christ in us. And like David said, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. In Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Job 31:1, I have made a covenant with my eyes. I will not look at a young lady. And you know, it's like, I was just thinking today, there really is a credible addiction. You know, when we think about addictions, we think about alcohol, and drugs, maybe gambling. But the sex industry today, it's like, and how easy it is to access for men to go on the internet. And I read something about the statistics of that. It was just like, are you really? And I don't remember the numbers, but they threw out, like, just in the United States alone, I think the number was just, but it was in the millions, millions that were addicted to the images, the pornography, the stuff like that is eroding away at the, and that's the why, and that's Satan's purpose is to erode away at the men. There's no godly leaders in the home. You know, they leave their wives, their broken relationships. It's all a part of his plan to destroy everything. But it's in the privacy of people's own homes. And so we need to pray. I think we need to pray about that. You know, that men are delivered from that. That there are more people that are being taught to come out of that. You know, given something that they can, given an alternative, and that's what we have, right? We have an alternative that we can give them. And I was just thinking about Mark 6. I was thinking about it's an interesting account of King Herod. And he is not like a believer, as far as we know. I mean, in this passage, he definitely is not. He lived in luxury. He was caught up in lascivious activity. He had taken his brother's wife as his mistress. He threw wild parties. He kept up with all the latest things that were going on in Rome. You know, he knew what was going on culturally. And Scripture indicates that he even knew that he was wrong in doing it. And I'm just going to show you this here in Mark 6:18. Have I gone over my limit already?
Mm-hmm.
I have?
No, he said that.
Okay, I'm almost done. Bear with me. Mark 6. Mark 6 and verse 18. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Right? And we know what happened after this, that that Herodias was, well, she was upset about this, to say the least. Okay, that's his, that's the wife that he had taken away from his brother. And then it says that in verse 22, and when the daughter of Herodias, talking about this is this a great party that he you know, invited the community and all the authorities and the high people in society. He invited them to his, I guess it was his birthday party, right? He invites them here, and the daughter of Herodias is dancing for him, right? And so, and then at the end of her dance, he swears unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it unto thee up to half of my kingdom. Well, that sounds like a pretty ridiculous statement to say for a girl that's dancing for him at his party. And it's his, you know, I don't know if it's an ancestral desire he has for his wife's daughter, you know. But it would be certainly, obviously it's not his own daughter, but it's the daughter of Herodias. And here he is lusting after her. And a drunken statement, possibly. I mean, think about that. I mean, how strange that is. She dances for him, and he says, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. You know, I mean, and, you know, he has his friends there, and he's kind of maybe playing for them a little bit, too, you know, like, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom, you know, like he's an important man and these kind of things. So, anyway, this is what happens, as we know. She went forth and said unto her mother, well, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Right? So, and we know that from verse 19 there, that she had a quarrel against him and would have him killed, but Herod feared John. Here's an interesting thing. He feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. So he heard him gladly. And so he had a certain respect and a certain fear. But now the mother of, I think her name is Salome, if I'm not mistaken, her mother says, well, ask for his head, John's head, you know, because I hate the guy, you know. That's basically what she's saying, you know. And I want to shut him up, you know. And he said something that offended me, you know, and it had to do with that relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And so what happens? That's exactly what happens. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and said, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger or on a platter the head of John the Baptist. I want his head on a platter. And the king was exceeding sorry. So he's very sorrowful for this. Yet for his oath's sake and for the sake's for their sakes, which sat with him, he would not reject her. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's like here's a situation where he could have easily denied her. A couple of the things he could have said. First of all, he says, "Well, he could have said, I'm well. First of all, I was drunk. You know, I had this part. Forget it. You know, that deal is off. You know, he could have said that. You know, or he could have simply said." He said, well, I promised you a gift. I didn't promise you a criminal activity. He could have said it, he could have said that as well, right? But instead, he gives into the peer pressure, it would seem here, in his own pride. He didn't want to look bad in front of the rest. He said, okay. So what does he do? He orders executioners, commanded his head to be brought. And because of his foolish pride and you know, the arrogance that he couldn't even make a decision that was, you know, a proper decision. He was speaking out of his mind. He was completely out of his mind, wasn't he? Hmm. Thinking about that. So it's like, I think this is just a good picture of how far it can go. Even, I mean, this guy was an unbeliever, but maybe there was a pre-salvation work that took place in his life. Maybe he was very close at one point. It almost sounds like it. But yet he rejected it because he wanted to, he was too much in love with what was going on around him. You know, this the peer pressure and his own wealth maybe and his own fleshly desires. So he gave into it. And that's sad the way the story ends. And of course, as we know, Jesus steps on the scene very shortly after that. And even a stronger voice is heard, you know, against Herodias. So she couldn't quiet the voice of God. And so Christ steps on the scene. She couldn't escape the voice of God, because that's obviously she wanted to quiet His voice, God's voice. And today there are so many churches and so many pastors and preachers out today in the world that don't want to preach a message that is convicting. And I can think of, there's somebody that pops into my mind right away when I think about this. And I thought throughout the years, I looked at this person, I said, there's something I can't put my finger on with this preacher. And I come to find out there's really other people that have figured it out before I did. The guy preaches only positive things. Only positive thing. Never touches on sin. You know, he never touches on things that people need to be delivered from, because he doesn't want to lose his people. He's afraid that he'll offend somebody and they'll walk out. So he has a mega church. And he has mega money. But the idea is that there's not a clear voice being spoken. It's not the clear message of the Word of God. So people are not going to be delivered from these things, and people don't want to be. They want their fleshly lifestyle. They want to live in sin. They want to attend church, but they don't want to be offended. They want to hear a positive, feel-good message, and as long as it's positive and it kind of makes me feel good and warm and cozy, you know, and I can lead the church, and then my life stays the same, and I can continue to enter into these chambers of imagery. You know, this, as Pastor Schaller mentioned not so long ago in one of his messages, it's like a lot of people have a house, and they have a door, and they have a room. And, you know, and God is welcome into their house. Come into my house, but that room over there, don't go in there. That's a mess. Don't open that door. Don't even open that door, you know. And so this is like, so much of Christianity today, I think, is falling into this, where there is these things, these desires, this lust, this flesh that they want to hang on to. And so that's the door that I don't want God to go into. And that's sad, isn't it? Because, I mean, God wants every little part of our lives to be poured out unto Him. He wants us to be, you know, a sacrifice. We are to be a sweet-smelling savor to Him, and a sacrifice. Our lives are to be a sacrifice to Him. And I was just thinking, as it says in 2 Timothy 4:3, they want entertainment. They have itchy ears. That's where they are today. They want it to be entertained, to feel good, but never a change taking place within them. And Luke 6:46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And there's so many people today, yeah, I'm a Christian, let's go to a bar and get drunk. You know, hey, let's go talk about this. Let's go, you know, do whatever, you know. But that's the kind of life that they live. There's never any change. And God says, basically God is saying, you know what? You mentioned my name, but I don't even know you, you know. John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And so the key for our lives is keeping our affections on these things, on Christ. And Matthew 5, I'll just look at that real quick. Matthew 5, and then we'll kind of close with this. Matthew 5:44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." And that's what He wants. He wants us to be the children, His children. You know, He wants to be proud that we have His name. That we're not just mentioning His name, but we have His name. We have His character. And what spurned the thought in my mind a little bit was as many of you know already, my father died
Sunday morning. And but before that, a week before that, I had a chance during Thanksgiving to have a moment before I left back for Nicaragua. I was in the room and coming in, he says, I recognize them. My sister and myself were going in the room. And then he turns to the nurse and he says, this is my son. He has my name. Because I'm a junior, you know, the same name in that sense. So, but I was just thinking about just that application of that, only because we are the children of our Heavenly Father. We have His name. I mean, we really do. We have His character that's been imparted and given to us, that's inside of us through the presence of the Holy Spirit that's been given to us as a gift. And it's like we are. And it's the most amazing thing in the world. And we just understand that our place is in Him. We are in Him and He is in us. It's like that's an amazing thing. And it's like we're much greater. I think we're going to know that and see that. We're talking about the Bema Seat Judgment a little bit today at lunchtime with Peter. And I was just thinking, we are going to see things. It's going to be so much greater than we can even imagine when we're standing at the Bema Seat Judgment. And we say that we belong to Him. And He says, you are, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the presence of my joy, right? Isn't that amazing? That's going to be our inheritance forever. And I just love that thought. And I just love what you guys have been doing here for so many years, you know, and the, just the faithfulness, really. And I'm just so blessed by that and thankful to be here, you know, and fellowshipping with you guys for a couple of days or a day or a night or whatever, you know. But so anyway, Father, we just thank you so much for this, again, for this time together. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you that it's you that keeps us. We must spend eternity with each other. Just this incredible fellowship that we'll have for all eternity, Lord. And we look forward to that. And we're just so thankful for what we have. It can never be taken away from us. It's a secure, sure hope that we have. It's not a, I hope I get there someday. But it's a sure hope. It's a hope that is because of your down payment on our behalf that you've given us, Lord. That you will finish the purchase, and we are the purchased possession, and we thank you for that tonight. And we just pray you'll bless the remainder of our nights together, and just this weekend, and let it be to your glory. We pray in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen.